Everybody lies. Big data, new data, and what the internet can tell us about who we really are. Author, Seth Stevens Davidowitz. Everybody Lies offers fascinating, surprising, and sometimes laugh-out-loud insights into everything from economics to ethics to sports to race, gender, and more, all drawn from the world of big data. What percentage of white voters didn't vote for Barack Obama because he's black? Does where you go to school affect how successful you are in life? Do parents secretly favor boy children over girls? Do violent films affect the crime rate? Can you beat the stock market? Investigating these questions and a host of others, Seth Stevens Davidowitz offers revelations that can help us understand ourselves and our lives better. Data, big and small. If you're 33 years old and have attended a few Thanksgivings in a row without a date, the topic of mate choice is likely to arise, and just about everybody will have an opinion. Seth needs a crazy girl like him, my sister says. You're crazy. He needs a normal girl to balance him out, my brother says. Seth's not crazy, my mother says. You're crazy. Of course Seth is crazy, my father says. All of a sudden, my shy, soft-spoken grandmother, quiet through the dinner, speaks. The loud, aggressive New York voices go silent, and all eyes focus on the small old lady with short yellow hair and still a trace of an Eastern European accent. Seth, you need a nice girl. Not too pretty. Very smart. Good with people. Social, so you'll do things. Sense of humor. Why does this old woman's voice command such attention and respect in my family? Well, my 88-year-old grandmother has seen more than everybody else at the table. She's observed more marriages, many that worked and many that didn't. And over the decades, she's cataloged the qualities that make for successful relationships. At that Thanksgiving table, for that question, my grandmother has access to the largest number of data points. My grandmother is big data. Data patterns and intuition. I've spent 10 years in the data analysis business and have been fortunate to work with many of the top people in the field. And one of the most important lessons I have learned is this. Good data science is less complicated than people think. The best data science, in fact, is surprisingly intuitive. What makes data science intuitive? At its core, data science is about spotting patterns and predicting how one variable will affect another. People do this all the time. You're a data scientist. When you were a kid, you noticed that when you cried, your mom gave you attention. That's data science. When you reached adulthood, you noticed that if you complain too much, people want to hang out with you less. That's data science too. When people hang out with you less, you notice you're less happy. When you're less happy, you're less friendly. When you're less friendly, people want to hang out with you even less. Data science. Because data science is so natural, the best big data studies I have found can be understood just about by any smart person. If you can't understand a study, the problem is probably with the study, not with you. Digital truth serum. Everybody lies. People lie about how many drinks they had on the way home. They lie about how often they go to the gym, how much those new shoes cost, whether they read that book. They call in sick when they're not. They say they'll be in touch when they won't. They say it's not about you when it is. They say they love you when they don't. They say they're happy while in dumps. People lie to friends. They lie to bosses. They lie to kids. And they damn sure lie to surveys. Here's my brief survey for you. Have you ever cheated on an exam? Have you ever fantasized about killing someone? Were you tempted to lie? Many people underreport embarrassing behaviors and thoughts on surveys. They want to look good. Even though most surveys are anonymous, this is called social desirability bias. And it is certainly possible that lying played a role in the failure of the polls to predict Donald Trump's 2016 victory. Polls on average underestimated his support by about 2% points. Some people may have been embarrassed to say they were planning to support him. Some may have claimed they were undecided when they were really going Trump's way all along. Why do people misinform anonymous surveys? I asked Roger Taranju, a research professor at the University of Michigan and perhaps the world's foremost expert on social desirability bias. Our weakness for white lies is an important part of the problem, he explained. About one-third of the time, people lie in real life, he suggests. The habits carry over to surveys. Then there's that odd habit we sometimes have of lying to ourselves. There's an unwillingness to admit to yourself that, say, you were a screw-up as a student. Lying to oneself may explain why so many people say they're above average. The truth about child abuse and abortion. The internet can give us insights into not just disturbing attitudes, but also disturbing behaviors. Consider child abuse during the Great Recession. When this major economic downturn started in the late 2002, many experts were naturally worried about the effect it might have on children. After all, many parents were stressed and depressed, and these are major risk factors for maltreatment. Child abuse might skyrocket. Then the official data came in and it seemed that the worry was unfounded. Yes, as counterintuitive as it may have seemed, child abuse seemed to have plummeted during the recession. But did child abuse really drop with so many adults out of work and extremely distressed? I had trouble believing this, so I turned to Google data. It turns out some kids make some tragic and heart-wrenching searches on Google, such as, "My mom beat me" or "My dad hit me." And these searches present a different and agonizing picture of what happened during this time. The number of searches like this shot up during the Great Recession, closely tracking the unemployment rate. Here's what I think happened. It was the reporting of child abuse cases that declined, not the child abuse itself. Searches by Apple suspecting abuse go up in hard-hit states, but reporting of cases goes down. A recession seems to cause more kids to tell Google that their parents are hitting or beating them, and more people to suspect that they see abuse. But the overworked agencies are able to handle fewer cases, and think it's safe to say that the Great Recession did make child abuse worse, although the traditional measures did not show it. Mo data, mo problems? What we shouldn't do. The danger of empowered governments. When her ex-boyfriend showed up at a birthday party, Adriana Donato knew he was upset. She knew that he was mad. She knew that he had struggled with depression. As he invited her for a drive, there was one thing Donato, a 20-year-old zoology student, didn't know. She didn't know her ex-boyfriend, 22-year-old James Stoneham, had spent the previous 3 weeks searching for information on how to murder somebody and about murder law, mixed in with the occasional search about Donato. If she had known this, presumably she wouldn't have gotten in the car. Presumably, she would not have been stabbed to death that evening. In the movie Minority Report, psychics collaborate with police departments to stop crimes before they happen. Should big data be made available to police departments to stop crimes before they happen? Should Donato have at least been warned about her ex-boyfriend's foreboding searches? Should the police have interrogated Stoneham? First, it must be acknowledged that there is a growing evidence that Google searches related to criminal activity do correlate with criminal activity. Christine McKellums, Flora Orr, Ji-Hyun Baek, and Ichiro Kawachi have shown that Google searches related to suicide correlate strongly with state-level suicide rates. In addition, Evan Soltis and I have shown that weekly Islamophobic searches such as "I hate Muslims" or "kill Muslims" correlate with anti-Muslim hate crimes that week. If more people are making searches saying they want to do something, more people are going to do that thing. The proper response in this situation is not to jail all the people who search for "kill Muslims," nor is it to visit their houses. There's a tiny chance that any one of these people in particular will commit a crime. The proper response, however, would be to protect that mosque, which has now a 10% chance of being attacked. Clearly, many horrific searches never lead to horrible accidents. Overall, however, we have to be very cautious using search data to predict crimes at an individual level. The data clearly tells us that there are many, many horrifying searches that rarely lead to horrible actions. And there has been, as of yet, no proof that the government can predict a particular horrible action, with high probability just from examining these searches. So, we have to be really cautious about allowing the government to intervene at the individual level based on search data. This is not just for ethical or legal reasons. It's also, for at least now, data science reasons.